It is my understanding you're working your way through Ernest Holmes's Creative Mind and Success. I have a confession to make. I've read a lot of his books, and somehow I missed this one. So that is part of why I'm here this morning, is because I get to read this book. And so I've had a very good time with this book. We're talking about Where Many Fail and the Use of Imagination. And the where is important because, of course, when I first read it, I thought, why? And then I noticed, no, it's not why. It's where. Where in this process of co-creation it is that things break down for people, that it gets off track somehow, or it never gets off the launch pad. And so I'm going to open with a reading from Joel Goldsmith, The Infinite Way. This is in the book I have. This is page 61, and the title of the page is Our Real Existence. Our real existence is as spirit. This is Holmes's, this is where we're going. This is where, actually, where we're from. This is everything. This is the arena we're playing in. Okay, back to the real reading. Our real existence is as spirit, and only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit do we drop the false sense of life as material. Then we see that the structural life of man, animal, and plant is but the false sense of existence, that our concern for the so-called necessities of material living has been unnecessary, that although the beauties we behold all hint at God's creation, they are not that spiritual and perfect creation, that the sick, aging, dying appearances are not at all a part of real life. When we arrive at this state of consciousness, we begin to catch a glimpse, we begin to catch glimpses of eternal spiritual existence, untouched by material conditions or mortal thoughts. As we turn from the world we see, hear, touch, taste, touch, and smell, we catch inspired visions which show forth the earth of God's creating. So when Ernest Holmes is talking about life, that's the life he's talking about, that we are living from, and then somehow we get the rest of this involved, and so this gets covered over, lost, we get off track, we forget who and what we really are all about. So I just thought that was it in a little nutshell. And so while that is truth, it is also little t true that we live in this world. We live in the world of the physical. We have bodies. We experience things physically. We do have seeing and hearing and touching and tasting and smelling. We do have interactions with people. And we deal with this. And so we have the two, or actually we have the one, and this is what we experience day to day. And so as we go through this life, we're basically, depending on our intention, learning to wake up. We are on a spiritual path. We're on a path of spiritual development, of living in and from that oneness, the truth of who and what we're all about, co-creating our life and our experience. And as we're along this path and we work with other people or meet with other people, they're on their own path of whatever it is they're doing. Many people are not paying attention to this. They're living their life the way they're living their life. Some folks are paying attention and they show up at places like this where they can absorb something more to help them in their life as they're trying to wake up to the truth of a way of existing that is here, now, creative. And so this waking up that Ernest Holmes is, you know, Ernest Holmes doesn't, I think, say those words, but that's the notion of becoming aware all the time. And that is part of the issue, is that Holmes and these other teachers are talking about this as a central driving force in our lives, that we are aware, we're paying attention, that we are going through day-to-day, moment-to-moment, 24/7, paying attention to this higher intention of becoming one and living in the oneness and co-creating and exercising the power of intention and of mind and attention. And I don't know that we do that. I remember hearing or reading something from Carolyn Mace long ago. I refer to this almost every time I do a talk, where she says, she doesn't quite see how we think we're going to do this, impress our thoughts on the condition, when we can't sit in meditation seriously for 10 seconds. And so there's an implication that, yeah, there is a discipline involved with this. There is some level of determination, of stick-to-itiveness, of perseverance. Also, over the last many years, it's been discovered that we can have an emotional reaction tied to brain processes and fight or flight, so that we react to things before we process at all. We're just reacting from that reptilian, animalistic, here's what I'm feeling. And then people can get lost in those feelings. They just sink right into them. They don't even stop to say, whoop, wait a minute. Or they dwell in the feeling for on and on and on, well beyond what has been referred to as that 90 seconds of the real pure feeling, and beyond that, now you're in the story. So we had just slide into feelings and stories with which we really didn't have a whole lot of attending to go along with this. We're not using our higher processes and our mind. Our mind never got involved because we weren't prepared. And so these emotions and reactions happen without processing and without our paying attention. We also know now that things can be affected simply because they're being attended to. Many years ago, decades ago, they realized that in one observation of waves and particles or some such thing, that these waves and particles were behaving differently sometimes. And they finally realized that the variable that was appeared, they were having a correlation with, when this was happening, they behaved differently, and the thing that was happening was observation. When somebody was actually watching, they behaved differently. And that's just really quite amazing. Which, of course, supports what people say, that where we put our attention is what we get more of, that our attention can have a serious and real effect. And then, taking it a step farther, our attention has an effect, but that effect is in the physical world, along with what we're thinking and paying attention to and how we're thinking and how we're feeling. But it actually has a physical effect, and so it sets off this chain of events that goes through the law of attraction, etc. And then can be involved in the co-creation of our world and our experiences. So here we have all these things going on, and Ernest Holmes and others tell us, well, here's how to do it. And they're coming in from the master teacher level. Here is the truth. Here's what we're all about. And that where many fail, I suspect, is that, well, they didn't find the start button. Or they found the start, but then they don't know how to maintain. They think that we can just jump right in and do some, you know, clear thinking and visualization and spiritual mind treatment, and that's what it takes. Well, I did it. Well, that was 5 minutes, 10. Maybe you did it yesterday, and now you did it today. And I'm not so sure that's going to get people where they really think they want to go. Ernest Holmes has some things to say about this, and I think we start sometimes buzz right past some of what he has to say. Now, one thing he says is that people don't really create. This is from Creative Mind and Success. It's a bit of a review for y'all. It comes from previous chapters. He says that people don't really create, that people actually are using a creative power that already exists. And that we are making our environments by the creative power of our thought. I'm pretty sure he didn't mean that every once in a while we have a thought, and that that creates our environment. And he talks about the power and the presence of some people that we get around. And that some people, in the presence of some people, we feel as though nothing were too great to undertake. We are uplifted. We are inspired to do great things, to accomplish. We feel strong, steady, and sure. What a power we feel in the presence of big souls, strong men, noble women. Did you ever stop to inquire why it is that such persons have this kind of an effect over you? This type is positive. And these people have a mental and spiritual power. And without that power, the individual can hope to do but little. These people have a mental and spiritual power that they are using, they are combining with a creative power that already exists in order to make their environment by the creative power of their thought. And anybody that gets around them can feel it. We sense it. We know that there are people that we get around who we just think, there are people I get around and I just feel like I'm somebody different when I'm around them. That I feel like more of me, capital M, more of who I really am supposed to be when I'm around these folks. And I really like spending time with them. I like that feeling. I feel more coherent, cohesive, whatever, empowered. I feel like more of who I truly am. Some workshops we'll go to. You can go to a workshop or retreat, and you know you are now different in the space, in the presence of what is happening from how you were when you first came in, and you leave feeling in that space. You feel like you're in an altered state. You are in a higher consciousness, and yet folks have such challenge maintaining it. How long does it last? A few days, maybe? And then one day you remember, oh, and well, how do we maintain that? It truly is a higher state of consciousness and awareness. It truly is. We're different. We're in an evolutionary process, but then we slide. Because why? Perhaps we stopped paying attention. Perhaps we lost the discipline, or never had the discipline, perhaps, to maintain it, to sustain it long enough so it can soak in and become part of who we are and just as part of our everyday way of being. Also, sometimes there's an issue when we talk about co-creating our environment with this spiritual creative force that already exists. Sometimes we get the impression from these master teachers and from Ernest Holmes that you set in your mind, you set in your vision, whatever it is you want, whatever it is you desire, you can have that. You just set that out there and you go for it, no holds barred, and that, you know, if you really believe it, it's yours. But then we know the stories and we've experienced things where we really were after something. We did everything right and something different happens. Well, maybe it's God's will, some people will say, or maybe whatever, maybe, and all the maybes, whatever happened, what ifs. And so I think that we're up to a conversation about what is a belief, because we're told that what we truly believe, that going after an intention, if we set a desire, the belief is what is supporting whether or not we can get this thing, whether or not we can have this manifest in our lives. And Creative Mind and Success has a whole slew of suggestions for how to go about learning to believe. There are a lot of suggestions in here. But one strong one that is the other part of today's topic is imagination. How do we get to a belief that when we hold that belief, that intention, that one clearly, that one actually does lead to manifestation, an ability to use this creative force. And so part of the topic here is, how do we get to that belief? He's talking imagination. Ernest Holmes, we'll go back to this little book. This is in the Where So Many Fail section, and I'm going to read for a bit. We may not always be aware of what's going on within. Nothing can happen to us that is not first an accepted belief in a consciousness. We may not always be aware of what's going on within, but practice will enable us to control our thought more and more so that we shall be able to think what we want to think, regardless of what may seem to be the case. Each person has within himself the capacity of knowing and making use of the law, but it must be consciously developed. This is done by practice and by willingness to learn and to utilize whatever we know so far as we have gone. He's telling us there's a learning curve here. There's a learning curve and practice. The individual who has the most power is the one who has the greatest realization of the divine presence, and to whom this means the most as an active principle of his life. We all need more backbone and less wishbone. And so he's telling us there's a difference between, you know, clarity and practice and discipline and just fantasizing. He then goes on and says, every thought is received and acted upon, not just some, but all thoughts. Whatever the pattern we provide. Here again, it's not a one-shot deal. It's not once or twice or three times. It is a pattern of thought that we provide. That will be our demonstration. Back in an earlier chapter, he's also suggesting clarity is important. He says, there is no way under heaven whereby we can think two kinds of thought and get only one result. Focus. What is it we really want? It can't be, you know, washing back and forth and wanting, you know, not know. Maybe this, maybe that, or I'm not sure. Get real clear. Focus on what it is we really want and stay steady. Because if you mix more than that in there, how do you get one result? You can't. Well, you will, but it won't be what you're aimed at. And here we go. The person who is to succeed will never let his mind dwell on past mistakes. Basically, mistakes being where you got off track. So the suggestion is, the kind of suggestion that if you're going to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, that you pull the ripcord. That's a suggestion. Here's a suggestion. Know what it is you desire, what it is you're looking for. Stay clear. Stay steady. Whatever happened before where you discover you're off track, the past by definition is over. And then the person will know that so long as he desires any good, there is nowhere in the universe that opposes him. As long as he desires any good. Now, this is not a capital G good, but I'm going to read it that way. Because I think often, within this way of teaching and believing and spiritual development, we get focused on, even though we're talking about spiritual development and becoming one with the one mind and being able to participate in this co-creative force, our visualization, our focus is so often in this lower part of our teaching symbol in condition. When we think about what we want, our true desires, we want a house, we want a car, we want a thing, we want a job, Those are all part of condition. Now, it may be that for your life, if you really need a car to get to work, then absolutely be there, right there. But sometimes I don't know if we are looking at, where do we fit in all of this? If we're really focused on what we desire, if we're focused on a desire that has to do with true creation and oneness and connectivity, and that you know, any tide lifts all boats. Can we lift it all? Can we change the world? Can we lift everybody? If we're focusing on that kind of intention, that changes the game. And here in this little sentence in here, so long as he desires any good, there's nowhere in the universe anything that opposes. That is an extraordinary sentence. And I think that we overlook that sometimes. That yes, this is a creative, co-creative force, that we can take care of our lives on this physical plane, things that we need, or things that we just realize we really want that. But I wonder if the scope of what we're really, what he's really teaching is not a little more expansive in the process than what we sometimes think of. I think that may be part of the struggle sometimes that we have, because it's hard for us to believe that we truly are in a situation where we can, the world is changing. There are people saying that this is a new axial age. Something happened thousands of years ago where all the major religions came up relatively close in time. When you really look at the whole span of time, it was like overnight practically. It took some 2,000 or 3,000 years, but that's like overnight in the span of all time. And now something else is going on, and partly because of the internet. The communication, the linkages, the connectivity, the understandings, the learnings, the change, the adaptations quickly as we take in information and move forward. And can we really settle back and think, yes, we can. We can change this whole world, not for my own self only, not for even just the people around me. But we, as more and more people realize that we can focus in this way, we can have an effect. And so, I think that is where Goldsmith is teaching. That's where he's living and breathing in that couple of paragraphs earlier. It talks about how are we contributing. Talk back to imagination. Ernest Holmes talks about something critical for all of this, and I love this, is the already believing. And I had never seen that little phrase, already believing. It's a state, already believing. It's hyphenated. This shows up on page 28, which this is also review. As we've said before, this already believing is necessary, because all is mind. And until we have provided that full acceptance, we have not made a mold into which mind could pour itself and through which it could manifest. This positive belief is absolutely essential to real creative work. And if we do not at present have it, then we must develop it. Again, we got a learning curve. We have a practice. We have a process. We have some discipline necessary. This is not just, I'm going to do an affirmative prayer and have things happen. This is a process. If we do not at present have this ability to already believe, we must develop it. Already we have the power. It's the gift of the Most High in its finite expression. But our ignorance of its use has caused us to create the wrong form, which in turn caused mind to produce the form which we have thought. Ta-da! The already believe. That's the part when people are talking about affirmative prayer that you speak in the present tense. I am so grateful that I already, this is already occurring, that I have this in my life, I am thoroughly enjoying it, I wallow in the goodness of it, whatever it is that we have already believed as part of our co-creation of it. So that already having it already be in our existence, in our presence, in our life, then it can actually come into form because it's already true in mind and consciousness. It just has to come into form. And so that's what that's all about. Something important about that is sometimes we set something in place that we want to have be true, and I'm unaware of time.
You have 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. And so, was something that we think, well, here's what I want, here's what I'm going to already believe. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we kind of shoot the moon. That Terry McBride used to talk about this. He wrote a book. He had major medical issues. He used science of mind principles in order to heal himself. And he will tell you, you know, you set your belief in place and do not waver from it. And don't let anybody let you sell out from what you set in place that you believe. This is going to happen. It is happening. I already have it. This is the way it is, this healing process. I am already healed, whatever it is. And his was a massive issue. That if you don't waver from that, there are no doubts. And yet he would say, if in this process of doing your spiritual mind treatment and your affirmative prayer, your clear intention, if there is some bit of you saying, that you don't really think you can do that, if you don't really think it can happen, then there's you're wasting your time at minimum. So find something a little bit earlier in the process of getting what you really want. Come a little, ratchet it back a little bit to, okay, I don't think I can really, you know, replumb my innards as part of what he was up against. And he writes about this, it's not a secret. But perhaps I can do this. I can have this happen in my life. Yeah, I think I can, that can happen. There's your focus. That I already have this level of healing, or this infection is vanished. This is now totally healed. I have healthy tissue, or whatever it is. If there's a bit of you that's thinking, well, back it up a little farther until you find something that, yes, when you really set on this belief, I already believe this is true, that resonates, that yes, this is something, this is already true. I can have this be. It is possible. And then you set on that and you stay on that and don't you waver until it happens, until it manifests in form. And that was something I think that often we overlook, that developmental, that practice. And as we gain practice and as we gain discipline in control of our mind all the time, as we soak in these principles and as we use them and as we see things actually unfold around us and as we are co-creating our experience successfully, then we can start, you know, expanding and moving what's next, what's next, what's next in this developmental process where we lay out patterns of thought and patterns of co-creation and patterns of additional success creating from mind, sticking to it with no doubts. Thank you.
Wow. That's good.